My name is Mark Snee. I'm the student ministry pastor here at Cornerstone. And I got the privilege to kind of dive into this next section that we're going to be teaching today out of the Psalms. And I think it's appropriate in light of the topic today, which is training youth to trust God. That's kind of the big idea that we're going to be talking about today. And I think it's appropriate that we bring up Tim and Courtney, Tim, at least, from our own body over the years, like was said before, we prayed for him. But Tim's story is one of countless stories of people from a young age making a decision to trust and follow Jesus. I was talking with Tim a little bit, and he just said that at the age of 7, that's when he decided that he wanted to follow Jesus. At the age of 19, that was when he made the decision to go into the mission field. And so everything in between then was a time of training, a time of discipleship, people investing into Tim's life. And a lot of times, that's not who we typically hear from a lot. We don't hear from the people that are working behind the scenes a lot of times in the lives of somebody like a Tim or a Courtney. But they're absolutely just as valuable as a Tim or Courtney. And so today we get the privilege of bringing up a panel of youth workers, specifically with our children's and student ministries. So if you wouldn't mind welcoming them up with me, they're going to make their way up right now. There's the mic right there. All right, so if you guys wouldn't mind, just whoever wants to start first, I guess since you have the mic, you'll start. If you could just start just by introducing yourself and kind of giving us a brief description on how or why you got involved with children ministry or student ministries. Oh, you know what? Here, it's like this. There you go.
Hi, Cornerstone. My name is Randall Stitt. I could tell you some eloquent story about how I wanted to be a teacher of children, but I wasn't. I showed up at the multipurpose room because my son wanted to go to Ascent, and I figured I'd just show up and hang around for an hour and a half and go home and talk to Christian Burkhardt a couple times. And then God got into my life, and God said, "Now you belong here." And I've been serving for 8 years now. Hmm. It was all God.
Awesome.
It was all God.
Cool. Yeah. Matt?
Okay. Hey, guys. Matt Schultz. I serve at... there's my boys over there.
That was Ryan Breland.
Anyways. God's just been... at the very start, I've been meeting with John Reed. He's been discipling me, and... he was like, "I think you need to be a part of a youth ministry." And so 13 was like a, kind of a critical life change for me, at least. So I was like, I'll try out Impact. And so I went there for the first time and then met Ryan Vreeland. They're all awesome, all the leaders over there. And that's just how it started. And God's just been doing that work. I've been there for a year now, and it's been really good.
Good morning. My name is Erwin. This is my family, my wife Charity, my daughter Kamilani, and my son Mateo. We have another daughter, but she is only 3 months old, so she is in the infant. Mm-hmm. We first got involved. First, we were new believers at 2012, and when we heard the announcement that they needed some help in the children's ministry, my wife told me that she wanted to volunteer. So she took my son the first time, and when they came home, they told me how fun it was, how I should volunteer with them. I thought it was a trap. I gave it a try. I took my daughter and the rest of the family with, you know, volunteering, and they were right. You know, we were just having a ball. Like, you know, it's just like VBS all over again. You know, it truly is an extension of VBS without the water games. You know, we do everything, the dancing, the teaching, the learning, you know, sharing God's word to the children, which is great. You know, they accept God's word, and the following week, the parents tell me how they practice the songs at home, and they recite the verse that were taught to them that week. And it's awesome. Awesome. It's, you know, all God's work.
Yeah, that's great. And, of course, Faye.
Hi, I'm Faye Couillat, and I've worked in children's ministry for almost 45 years. and it's been an amazing journey. There's been many doors opened. There's been different variations of children's ministry. 2 years ago, God said he needed me in the kindergarten class, and it's one of the greatest classes there are. I don't think that there could be a bigger blessing than to have five-year-olds and watch them grow to six-year-olds and the knowledge that they have, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
That's great. That's great. So one of the questions I have for you guys is, before you started serving in children's or student ministries, was there ever an excuse that held you back from serving that you wouldn't mind just sharing with us today? Faye, you want to start out?
There was a huge excuse. Growing up, I was a wallflower. I never wanted to get in front of public to speak. I never wanted to be in a group, even with children. My senior year in high school, I took an F on a project because I had to get up in front of a class and talk. I was so timid and so shy.
Well, sorry for doing this to you right now.
And no, don't. because God has transformed me into someone that can speak boldly for Him. And it's been a great journey, and He has worked miracles in this timid, shy girl.
That's awesome. Cool. Who else wants to go? Anyone? Yeah, Randall?
I have a different story. I was humbled and honored to be able to put on four of the Cornerstone golf tournaments in the 2000s, and I was anxious to keep doing that, and EBC didn't want to do it anymore. And again, I sort of fell into the youth ministry. I'm not afraid to talk in front of people, but I sort of fell into there, and it's my mission now, and I can't wait till Wednesday nights.
Cool. Yeah.
You can ask a nice question.
Oh, no, let's see. Everyone's got some.
It's okay. One of the things that may have prevented us from it's commitment. We didn't know. We are not sure if we could do this week after week or even every other week. But again, like I mentioned earlier, after the first try, you know, God answered that question.
That's great. So what's the one main highlight, if you were to share one main highlight of what God is doing in the lives of the children that you're working with or the students that you're working with that you wouldn't mind sharing with us?
Oh, man. I have many, but this last summer camp was probably the coolest one that's happened recently. We were in small groups. I'll try to keep this brief. We were in small groups, and we were just our whole purpose for camp was known by God, and what do we want to be known by God for? And so we were going around the group, and then it got to me, and I was like, I just want to be known by God for people to be able to trust me and go to me with problems and be able to be faithful to the student ministry and stuff like that and really impact the kids' lives. And so I read a little bit of scripture from Ephesians and just how, anyways, God adopted us into His family and how important that really is and how we should be doing that with each other and just loving on each other. And after that small group, one of my students came up to me, and this kid is like one of those kids that like doesn't, you don't think is listening. You don't think he's listening. He's really quiet. Absolutely, you think that you're not getting anything to him. Anyways, he comes up to me, and he just says, hey, Matt, can I talk to you? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he's like, I just want you to know that when you had us bow our heads and just close our eyes and think about how cool it is that God adopted us, like, I was really God was speaking into my life and saying that, like, he wants me to go home and start, like, spreading his word more. And he's like, I also want to encourage you, like, you're doing exactly what you want to be doing. Like, I feel that you love us a lot and that I can go to you for anything. And it was just so, like, it was like, praise God, like, this is awesome. Like, it was the coolest experience probably that I've had personally with a student.
Absolutely. That's great. Yeah.
I was humbled again that the Christian let some of us small group leaders and coaches start to speak a few years ago, and something deep down inside I always wanted to do. And when you're up there and you're teaching God's word, you have to read the Bible and you have to study to get those little eyeballs opened up and to keep their attention span more than 10 minutes. As I was able to relate to the kids, just like what Matt said, they would come up to you later on and say, well, you know, what about this and what about this? Because you don't think they're paying attention at all. They're yawning and they're, you know, scratching around and stuff like that. But a byproduct of this is that I was a wimp for God before, a wimp. I would hide behind trash cans. And being able to speak about him and speak in front of the kids, it's made me bold for Jesus. And I can talk about people, I can talk about the gospel, I can talk about God's plan. And it's amazing. I'm some plain old guy, and people come to ask me about what the Bible says. It's mind blowing.
So good. Yeah. Hey.
I have. teaching children's ministry. I've taught all ages, basically from 3 to 18, but I have seen, working in children's ministry, children that grew up hearing the gospel, hearing the love of Jesus, and learning to obey him are now leaders in churches. Hmm. It's important to us that we have that. In our class, in our kindergarten class, these little children are now, they come up front, and they volunteer to pray, and some of their prayers would bring any of us to our knees. And Christ said, do not let the little children, do not keep the children from me, bring them, because that is the kingdom of heaven. Hmm. And they know God, they know his glory, and it's just been amazing. They're going to leave this week, this is our last week, with these little guys, and it's always a sad day of the year for me, because they're moving on. But they're moving on to greater things, and they have learned a lot of the Word of God.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. Did you want to also share? Yeah.
I think the highlight for us is we're able to serve as a family, and we got closer together, and we do a lot of teamwork, because we have to tag team two-year-olds, because we're in the two-year-old room. And so Lonnie would do the Play-Doh, and then Mateo will do, he leads worship for the two-year-old, he plays a guitar, and Erwin will do Bible stories, I'll change the diapers and get the snacks ready, so it's really fun, and we just love it, we enjoy Jesus, and I can see in their face that they really enjoy him too, and they just love it.
That's so good, yeah.
There's so many highlights, but the one thing that sticks to my mind is, you know, you get to know the parents, you know, because they drop their kid off, they pick them up week after week until they move on to the next one. But that one year, we have their kids, so you get to know the parents. You know, just like what Matt said, you know, just when you think they're not listening, they are. Mm-hmm. You know, one evening, Charity and I received a text message. Actually, it was a video of a two-year-old singing worship songs.
That's cool.
From the parent. Huh. You know, you get to know them, you exchange phone numbers, and they send us videos of their kids. Huh. And I thought that was one of the highlights that, you know, we've experienced so far.
Absolutely.
You know, with the parents sharing that.
That's great. Yeah, well, I'm so thankful for you guys serving. I get encouraged. I mean, even just hearing about the stories of you guys serving specifically as a family, it just seems like that doesn't happen a whole lot, but when it does, that makes all the sense in the world, especially when we're called to show our kids what it looks like to serve and to not make it about us. And then just even for you, like being older, is that okay to say? I'm always,
I am older.
You are older? Okay, she's accepted it. Just for you guys being older and working with students, it just, and not having a kid in there that of your own, it's just so encouraging. And the Matt's kind of the token high energy, you know, guy that is going to serve. And we expect a college age or mid-20s. That's kind of the age range that we expect people to serve in children's or student ministries. But to see this panel up here that are just committed to serving where the needs are, it just gets exciting. And so I'd love to just pray over these workers and just the rest of the workers that are there right now making it all work out. I'd love for you to join me in praying. So, Father, we just thank you. We want to say that you're amazing and that this panel of people are just an encouragement of what you're doing in their lives. And God, thank you so much that that they're looking to serve and give of themselves to see the next generation trained up and instilled with the knowledge of God, with the works of what you've done, God. And we just pray that you would raise up more workers in our midst from our congregation, people that would be able to relate to stories that were shared right now, people that might be intimidated to do it. We pray that you would help us get over our fears and help us just to give and serve and see the freedom and blessing of training up the next generation for you, Lord God. We pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys. Oh, yeah, thanks. So, I don't know why this is so short. It's like Todd makes fun of me for being short, and maybe that's... I'm confident, I'm secure, it's cool. It's cool studying up on this because there's so much that I've learned that I would just love to share with you guys in the remainder of our time together. See, three-fourths, statistics are telling us three-fourths of those who make lasting decisions for Christ in America do so before the age of 21. One study from Barna recently put out, he expands kind of on that and just kind of gives the breakdown of ages and the commitments to Christ at what age groups. And he says that nearly half of all Americans who accept Jesus as their Savior do so before the age of 13. And that 2 out of 3 born-again Christians, or 64%, made that commitment to Christ before their 18th birthday. 1 out of 8 born-again Christians made their profession of faith while 18 to 21 years of age. That's where I would fit. Less than 1 out of every 4 born-again Christians, or 23%, embraced Christ after their 21st birthday. But the issue that we're facing is that today's young people know less about Jesus than any generation in history, according to some of these statistics. See, for me, this tells me that there's a crucial window of responsibility and opportunity to train our youth to trust God. Children and students, they won't all be reached, though, by just one person. Like, I'm the student ministries pastor, Rochelle Hansen. She's the director of children's. There's no way that both of us are doing the work to train up these kids. And that's why you saw this panel up here of people that are committed. They're saying, look, I want to help out in whatever way I can. And it's a huge blessing to be able to look at people like this and people in the high school and college ministries that are volunteering their time to make disciples of these people, of these students that are coming in. It's a lot of work to be done. And literally, if it were just me, I would be crushed under that weight of responsibility. It's way too much for me to handle. I think most of us see, don't you see just kind of this huge need out there to train up the youth? You hear these statistics, and you want these youth to trust God, especially if you're a parent in here, right? Parents are the primary agents to accomplish this task. John Piper lists out some bullet points that I felt were going to be helpful for us to hone in on in our time together, just emphasizing these points. But this task, given primarily to parents, is not meant to be done by them alone. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Here's a few reasons why. First bullet point is that parents need help in boiling down the book of God into essential, transferable, age-appropriate portions. I got all excited 2 days ago and preparing this message, thinking that it's my responsibility to train up my kids, and I have a 6-year-old, a four-year-old, and an 11-month-old. And so I'm all fired up studying this passage in Psalm 78. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna do what it says to do. Hey, Hayden, Hannah, do you know what God's done in history? They're like, no. And I'm like, I proceed to explain. I get to about Abraham, and all of a sudden Elijah, our 11-month-old, ruins it by waking up from his nap. And so my time was cut short, and there's a bunch of other stuff just as a parent. And there's needs that we have as parents to share this burden together with others that are passionate about seeing the youth raised up and trained up. The second bullet point is this. Parents need help in teaching subjects and skills where they lack expertise and time. The next one is this. Parents need relief from time to time from the strain of parenting. Amen. The next one says this. Parents need community reinforcement of truth and moral standards. It's so powerful for me being mainly involved with high school and college ministries here, just to see the students hear from me and respond to basically the same things that they're being taught at home. But all of a sudden, because it's from me, somebody that's not living with them, that's not trying to enforce rules in the household, they listen. They're like, wow, I've never heard that before. Like, no, you have. You just weren't listening. And it goes on. The next one says this. Maybe that's the last one. I think it is. Yep, that's the last one. So, those are really good, right? See, there's a deeper reason, though, of why we as a church, we specifically as church leadership, are so committed to coming alongside of parents while teaching children and students to trust God. And Psalm 78 is going to help us to see that reason. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 78. We're going to be focusing in on the first 8 verses today. And if you don't have a Bible, we got some guys that are willing to pass out Bibles so you can read along with us. Psalm 78, starting in verse 1, says this. And it's from Asaph, probably a worship leader of the time in the temple service. He says this, and this is a song. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old. Things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. But tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. Now, real briefly, this is basically a reference, this parable, this unlocking these dark sayings. It's basically a reference, this psalmist is saying to what he's about to say in verses 9 through the end of the chapter. We don't have time to get into all of it, but it basically identifies some major points in the history of Israel as a nation, of what God has done to rescue his people, what God has done to give his people his word, his will, written down. Verse 5 continues on, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. See, you can just observe at first glance reading through this together, just the emphasis that is put on the generation that's currently being addressed to impart the works and the words of God to future generations. And the hope is that they, in turn, would invest the works and words of God into their future generations, and that it would keep going. And the key verse here that I just keep going back to in my study of this passage is verse 7. Because it says this, it shows us a key to understanding the why question. Why do we train up our children? Why do we spend so much time emphasizing student ministry or children's ministry even now today as a church body? See, in verse 7, it talks about how God desires that the next generation would be trained up so that they should set their hope in God. See, the question that we need to ask ourselves is this. Is the way that I'm living an example to the next generation of a person whose hope and trust is in God? Like by my lifestyle, by our lifestyle, outside of a Sunday gathering point, do I communicate that my hope and my confidence is in God? Because one thing that's scary is that it's really easy to just come in, hear about the works and the words of God, and not do anything about it the other 6 days of the week. See, verse 8 describes the spiritual condition of those who did not put their trust in God. It says this, that the future generations should not be like their fathers, stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. You know, the scary thing about these unfaithful people to me, the scariest thing is that they probably were the regular church attendees of their day. They were the ones who knew the words and works of God. They could spout it off. Yeah, I know that. I know God did that. Yeah, I know. They probably went through all the motions. They went to the temple at the appropriate seasons with the people of God to offer sacrifices, even to give him praise with their mouths. But this passage says that their hearts weren't in it. They weren't faithful to God at the most important level, which is the heart level. And you parents know this. You can get a kid, your kid, to conform by modifying their behavior. I do this a lot with my kids, and I realize I gotta change this. I sit there when they have a conflict and say, Hannah, say you're sorry. And she looks at Hayden, I'm sorry. I'm like, her heart. You just know when their heart's not in it, that it's frustrating, and there's more to parenting than just behavior modification. We want our children's hearts to be in it, and that means that our hearts have gotta be fully committed to God. See, I see this passage, and I realize that I've got a huge responsibility to carry, not only as a parent, but also as a student ministry's pastor, looking at training up the next generation. A lot of your kids are coming to the youth ministries. Some of your kids are coming to the children's ministries. Rochelle, the different workers, we all have this burden that we're carrying that it's not really a burden when we carry it the right way. It's a blessing. And I'll get into that, but it's a huge responsibility. It's heavy. It's weighty. See, Jesus talks about it in the new covenant that it's a matter of training our children, training people and future generations to obey everything Christ commands. You guys know it, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, teaching them to know everything Christ commands, right? No, it's not. It's teaching them to obey everything Christ commands. We default and go to teaching people to know what Christ commands as though that's sufficient, and it's not. We need to be those who demonstrate what it means to obey what Christ commands. You know what that involves? That involves living by faith and putting yourself into some kind of scary situations at times. but it's a joy. And I fear, as I read this passage, I fear becoming like those whose hearts were not steadfast, were faithful to God. In another translation, it says, a generation that did not prepare its heart. It can almost become a burden too heavy to lift until I realize who I am and who God is in me, who he saved me to be. There's this passage, if you turn over real quick to 2 Timothy. Paul tells Timothy some really, really crucial information. And he's actually reminding him of this information. Timothy already knows it. He just needs to be reminded. My dad has told me this quote that he's loved over the years is, Christians need to be reminded much more than we need to be instructed. And I really believe that that's the case. We're instructed the first time, we understand what God does, his word. And then typically what we need to do is just be reminded. And this passage demonstrates that need very clearly. Timothy is told by Paul here in verse 6 of chapter 1 in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:6 says this, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. I believe he's referring here to the Holy Spirit of God. We'll see in the next verse why that's the case. Which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now catch this, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. See, that's what I have to lean my hope on, is that God's given me his Holy Spirit, very God himself, to live in me, to dwell in me. But as you understand, as I understand reading the scriptures, we're called to be filled with the Spirit. It's this ongoing process. Todd talked about it months back in the series on the Holy Spirit, what it means to be filled with the Spirit. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that. Spend some time in Galatians 5 to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. But I wanted to kind of illustrate it for you guys. Not by leaving. I hope you didn't think I was leaving. See, I feel like a lot of times... That's for the next service. Don't mind that. I feel like a lot of times my life is represented, as I think about myself, it's this reality that I just feel like an empty cup. I saw this illustration a while back at our men's breakfast. I thought it'd be helpful for this talk, so just go with me. If it's not good, you can blame the guy that I learned it from. So this is me. This is Mark. Not very impressive. Kind of like this empty cup. I understand that I have limitations. I'm kind of weak. And as I look at what I'm held responsible to do as a Christian, I'm called to train up the next generation to know the works and the words of God, training them to obey everything Christ commands. When I hear that and when I understand what that type of responsibility entails, it's like this heavy weight that in and of myself, I'd be crushed under that weight. I'm not that strong. But what happened when I became a Christian is that God himself actually took residence in my life. I'll have to clean that up later. Sorry, Paul. God took residence in my life, and what he does is he fills my cup. He fills me up, and he causes me to be able to, I hope this works, he causes me to be able to stand up under the weight of the responsibility that I have as a leader, as a Christian, as a parent, as somebody that has the responsibility to train up the next generation to know and love and put their hope and confidence in God. See, I feel like a lot of us are Christians in here, and we're excited about following God. We agree that we need to train up the next generation to follow God. But we're trying to do it in our own power, our own strength. And if you ever try to do that, it just doesn't work, right? That weight of responsibility, you feel crushed. You feel like giving up because it's just too much of a heavy burden to carry. on your own. See, you have a decision to make. How are you going to respond to God's call? We read it already. Psalm 78, 1 through 8. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Our responsibility is to train up the next generation, to be involved. Will you consider making this the year that you get involved? To train up the next generation to trust God. Maybe this isn't the way God has gifted you to support the body of Christ. Maybe your gifting is different than children's or student ministries. I understand that, and I'm not looking at you guys saying, hey, we all need to start helping out in children's or students. There's not enough for all of us in this room to do. But the next couple weeks that we're going to spend honing in on what we do at Cornerstone, the ministries that we offer, might offer you an opportunity to understand the responsibility that you do have in the body to serve, to get out there and to give your time, your money, your energy, your efforts, your love. See, one pastor says it this way. I'm not going to be naive about this. Like, we're not going to ask you to do something that you're no good at. And here's the reason why. You're no good at it. So, thought that's helpful. We're not looking for experts, on the other hand, just people confident in God that he can actually strengthen us to endure this weight of responsibility that we're called to carry. And I wish that I had a bunch of, I just thought of this before getting up here, but it's almost this picture of this illustration where this whole stage should be filled with cups full of the presence and power of God. And when the pressures come around and they step on you, you got a bunch of other people to kind of help carry that weight and to encourage you. And that's what we need. We don't need a church of just observers checking out what's going on Sunday. We need a church that's members, one of another. See, imagine if we as a church body worked hard together, singles, parents, children, students, workers, to see the next generation trust and love God. Like, imagine what that would look like if we really committed to doing what God has gifted us to do. Our church would be unstoppable in this city, and that's what we need. Every year, I feel like we're losing different leaders in the high school or college, middle school ministries because of good reasons. They're going off to college or whatever else, and we need more. It's constantly a revolving door of people that are coming in, faithfully serving, and then they're heading out. But I guess the main point of what I want to leave us with today is I want us to understand that we're essentially like these cups that are under your seats. I had the ushers pass out cups, and the reason for that is because I want to challenge you, if you could just join with me for the next 7 days to commit to praying and using these cups as just that visual reminder of what we talked about today, that I'm weak. And maybe having that cup by the place that you spend time with the Lord in the morning or whenever you spend time with God, but just as a visual reminder, that's me. I can't do it on my own. And just to use it as a prayer request. God, I'm like this empty cup. I'm weak. I can't stand up under the weight of responsibility. Fill me up. Give me strength. I want to honor you. I want to see future generations raised up to know and love and serve Christ. If you want to do that, I encourage you to take a cup. If you're not interested, you can use a cup to drink out of. You know, that's fine. But I just really encourage you to take up that challenge. I love being a part of this church, all the years that I've been a part of it. And this church has been characterized by people who want to love and serve and train up the next generation. And I'm a result of that. People have invested in me, and now I'm looking to invest in the next generation. So we ask you to join with us. So let me pray for us, and the worship team's going to come up, and we're going to respond to God through song. Father, please give us an accurate view of ourselves. Help us to see how weak we are apart from you filling us up. Help us to see the responsibility that we have to prepare our hearts to be worshipers of God, not just by external traditions of going to church or being a part of even student or children's ministries, but having our hearts transformed and ready to pour ourselves out. God, please show us where you want us to serve you most, and We just pray that you would be honored in our lives, Lord. Please, God, remove the things from us that are hindering us from faithfully serving you the way that you created us and saved us to serve you. And we just ask all this in the power of your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.